Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 10 of the Big Apple Sports Media Podcast. I'm Anthony Evangelista here with Kyle Keegan. How are you today, Kyle?
I'm very well. Happy Friday. Yankees are on fire. They're back. It's a good thing we haven't talked about that much recently because I would have been completely reactionary and pessimistic if we did last week. But they're back. The Mets are playing all right. The Islanders lost. So I don't have to worry about that anymore. So I don't know. So far, so good. I've had a pretty good week. School started. Everything's going all right.
I'm glad to hear. So with this most recent stretch of, what is that now, 2 weeks since we've talked about baseball? It's been a while. It's
been a long time since because football was starting and we did the basketball episode.
I think it might have been like the last time we talked about it was right before the trade deadline. And since then, a lot has happened for both the Mets and the Yankees, both good and bad. And recently, it's been kind of good for both of us, which we can't normally say too often. But, I mean, last night, the Mets had a very big win after having a big win the night before that against the Phillies.
Two huge wins in a row for the Mets.
Exactly. The Yankees are on a great stretch right now. But let's go into the Yankees right now. Let's start with them.
All right. So, as we all know, the Yankees have had separately seven-game and five-game losing streaks in this season. Their rock bottom to this point was 21-21 back, like, last Wednesday or something. And then they've won eight in a row since. They're 2.5 ahead of the Blue Jays for second place in the East. We're probably not going to win the division. But, man, what a response by the Yankees. They've broken so many records. I believe that their 19 home runs in their three-game series against the Blue Jays is the most of all time in a three-game series. And their five home runs in the fourth inning yesterday ties a major league record for most home runs in an inning. So with that eight-game winning streak, I'd say the Yankees are playing pretty well heading down the stretch.
Can we talk about how the Yankees scored 43 runs in a span of three games?
It's ridiculous. Like, this offense last week, everyone was cold. No one could get a hit to save their lives. And it seems like this week, everyone just has an OPS over 1,000. And Luke Voit, let me tell you, what a series he had and what a stretch he's been on all season long. He has more home runs than the Red Sox have wins, by the way. And he could win MVP. I hope he wins MVP. He's up there in OPS.
Playing very well.
He's getting home runs.
I don't know if he will, but he's playing very, very well.
Yeah, I mean, he's gonna at least finish in the top three, I believe. He's just playing out of his mind. He did this in the first half last year, too, when he was healthy, and people just forgot because he was injured the whole second half of last year how good he was. But he's like a top – he's got to be like a top five, maybe top three first baseman in the league at this point, the way he's playing. It's just ridiculous. He's had stretches like this now for the last three seasons, and – this year, it's just all coming together in a short season. He'd be on a ridiculous 162-game pace. He's playing through a foot injury. You just can't say enough about how ridiculously good Luke Voit has been.
It's so funny to see just because, like, if you asked me at the beginning of the season what Yankees player is going to break out this year, I would have no clue. But it does not surprise me at all that he's breaking out just because it seems like the Yankees always have somebody that just starts to play absolutely lights out once the season starts, whether that be – LeMahieu in recent years, Aaron Judge even.
Or Urshela like, last year or
exactly.
Torres, someone like just
comes out of nowhere and play absolutely insane. That's Luke Voit this year. And it's been really fun to watch. I mean, yeah, I think that he's a really good player. I'm not sure on the whole MVP thing, but if he's able
to stay
consistent with his numbers, he'll definitely have his name tossed up in that kind of conversation. But just a point of the Yankees – always have this kind of luck with random players, and Luke Voit is definitely that one this year, which is
yeah. And I agree. I agree, but I don't know if luck is the word I'd use. I'd say Brian Cashman is just an incredible does a great job every year at finding diamonds in the rough for the Yankees these last few years, man. Like
100%.
Like I mean, guys like him, Urshela, LeMahieu to a lesser extent because we already knew he was pretty good, but coming in and just playing MVP caliber baseball. Just unbelievable. And, man, the Yankees starting pitching as well has been pretty good in this stretch. Garrett Cole's back to form. He's had a great last three starts with Kyle Higashioka as what seems to be is probably going to be his personal catcher now. So don't be surprised if he's the game one catcher in the playoffs for the Yankees, who also, by the way, hit 3 home runs the other night against the Blue Jays. But Gary Sanchez, who I've been very adamant about my displeasure for how he's played, has been playing better. So can't really get on him this week. Everyone's just hitting. Stanton's back. Judge's back. Urshela's back. Jonathan Loaisiga out of the bullpen is back. So Yankees bullpen, they're all – it seems like they're all healthy right now. It'd be nice to get James Paxton back, but it doesn't seem like he'd be eligible until maybe the second round of the playoffs, which sucks because it's always good to have extra arms, especially with this new playoff format they announced where there's not going to be any days off in the LDS or LCS, which is crazy because it's just going to be game 7 straight days. So that's going to be a real test to not only the Yankees but to every team's just depth throughout the lineup. And, like, what do you think about that, like, format with the no days off for the until the World Series?
As a fan, I absolutely love it, to be honest. I mean, as a player, or if I was in a, like, situation where I was the one playing, I wouldn't probably be as excited for it. I mean, just the point of watching all of this unfold is very, very fun to watch. And obviously, once it gets to playoff time, it's going to be much more hyped up. So I'm not complaining as a fan at all. But I could understand why some players, some people in the organization might have complaints. And just because it's going to run the risk of more injuries, it's going to run the risk of fatigue and less pitching ability, that kind of thing. So I could see it go both ways. But for the situation, I'm glad that it's happening and that I am not an MLB player right now.
Well, one thing that I think is to of note of this format is that typically with the days off between and the LDS and LCS, the pitching becomes like Gerrit Cole now has no chance that he can start 3 games in the LCS. And same with any other ace, I suppose. But it becomes more of a test of the whole team as a test of your just elite pitching. You know what I mean? Like, it seems like most in the playoffs, it's just like, oh, if you have top guys, that's it. But like, now, like, teams are going to need to be scratching for, like, a 4th or 5th starter on, like, unless you want to do a guy on 3 days rest, like, someone's going to have to start game 5 that maybe you wouldn't have envisioned starting a playoff game for you back in July. So, Jay Happ is going to be pitching important games for the Yankees, and that's kind of terrifying. But nonetheless, focus on a game at a time. The Yankees are heading to Boston tonight. If the Yankees sweep the Red Sox this weekend and go 10-0 against them in the season, I'm going to have a heyday with some people. Jeez. I mean, 10-0 again. Like, I'm getting way ahead of myself. And because I'm saying this, the Yankees are going to get stomped tonight. I mean, seriously, the way the Yankees have dominated the Red Sox have been incredible. They probably won't win. The Yankees probably won't win the division because the Rays continue to play well. And obviously, the Yankees went 2-8 against them this year. So it's their own fault. But If there's a year where winning the division matters less than ever, it's this year. So that gives me a little bit of solace, but
yeah, with the extra playoff spots, it's a lot easier now. So you're not
no adding fans too. So exactly. And no 1-game wild card.
Mm-hmm. So it's a lot less stress to get to the top of your division, that kind of thing, where you're a little more at ease with these playoff conditions.
Yeah, agreed. So, yeah, the Yankees have the Red Sox for 3 games. One thing I'm a little bit concerned about for the Yankees is how they're going to line up their pitching heading into the playoffs, because if they were to continue on this rotation go around as it is, Gerrit Cole would not be lined up for game 1. So I think that he'll probably make a start sometime later in the week, maybe late in Toronto, as opposed to, like, Tuesday. He would pitch on maybe Thursday so that he's lined up. But yeah, the Yankees have been playing better. They've won 8 straight. They're 29-21 heading down the stretch. This is a good time to get hot, so hopefully they can stay this way. Stay healthy, please. Stay healthy, please. I still genuinely believe the Yankees have the best offense in the league when they're healthy. So just stay healthy. That's the goal right now.
You just got to stay away from the injuries that have plagued this team for the past however many years.
Uh-huh. So they swept Toronto. They swept Baltimore right before that. So those are 2 teams that it seems that they've put in their rearview mirror. Maybe less so Toronto because they have 4 more games against them in Buffalo this week to close out the season right after Boston. So you never know, but the way the Yankees dominated them in three games straight this week and the way the offense has looked, I feel very good about getting a 4-5-6 spot as opposed to a 7-8. So, yeah, the Yankees have had a good week, finally. They've been really inconsistent, so hopefully they don't shut it off like they have previously, because obviously they had that 5-15 miserable stretch. But, yeah, the Yankees are looking good right now. So, yeah, let's talk Mets.
Yeah, so first off, before I get into the Mets' actual play, I just want to say that it has happened. Finally, I don't know how to explain it in words just because of how excited I am. But the
Wilpons, I know what you're talking about.
The Wilpons are no longer the owner of the Mets. Steve Cohen officially bought the Mets recently, which was a very, very great early Christmas gift. A few months early, but I'm ecstatic at that news. I think that this happening is going to be a very important milestone in the Mets' play in the next few years and for decades even. Just getting the Wilpons out, I don't care that who it is. I know that's Steve Cohen, but I don't care who it is, how it happened, whatever, blah, blah, blah. It's not the Wilpons anymore, and that's the best thing that could have happened to the Mets.
Yeah, and the Mets now have the richest owner in Major League Baseball. I think that some Mets fans might be getting a little bit reactionary with saying they're going to buy everyone now.
Look, I think that
it's definitely something to be excited about because as Knicks fans, as a Knicks fan, I know what an incompetent owner can be like. So, big news.
Yes. So, with that, I don't know how much more. I mean, I don't think that they're going to be spending on every single free agent ever, but I think that there'll be a lot more skill going into this stuff. It's just annoying to see, like, how Mets fans are reacting. Like, I am a Mets fan, but to see other Mets fans being like, you know what, I'm not as big of a fan as you on this move. I don't understand what you're talking about.
The Mets fans who aren't excited are just being way too pessimistic. Like, this is finally something good that's happening.
This is the greatest thing that has happened to this organization in the past 5 years.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think of like words to put it. Like just a sense of having like, it's like a new car smell. You know what I mean? Like just getting some new blood in there is going to be good for the Mets. They don't need to go. They have some good young players. They've got some guys they need to build around, but Mets have a new owner. So that's good. Let's talk about their recent play now.
Yeah. So now let's get into their play. So I just want to say their game on 9/11 was the greatest that I've seen the Mets play this entire season. Just a point of solid pitching, solid run, just everything was so solid.
They won 18-1 that day, right?
18-1.
The Yankees had a doubleheader that day and also sweat. I remember like the baseball teams just completely shoved on 9/11. It was awesome.
Exactly. Which was really nice to see just for like the state of New York as well. But
I'd love to see that.
10 runs in the fourth inning. So nice. Just so – such beautiful baseball. And obviously, there's been other hiccups and stuff like that during this play. I'm not going to just highlight this one game. But the Mets have played decent, I'd say. I mean, I'm not going to say that they've played completely well, but they've played good enough to kind of not be out of the running of the playoffs right now.
They're one and a half out from a wild card spot,
right? Exactly. I'm pretty sure it's 1.5 out. They're fourth in the division, unfortunately. So they're only 3 games out of the Marlins for second place. They're 6 games back on the Braves. And then the Phillies are right in front of them, game and a half. But I think that this team definitely still has a shot at the playoffs. And if you asked me at the trade deadline if I think they would at this point, I would say no. I thought they would have played a lot worse since then. But they haven't been horrible. I mean, they've had their stretches of games that they haven't been able to win. They went in a few losing streaks, but recently at least, right now, they finished their 3-game set with the Phillies, winning 2 out of the 3. Now they're going on, they're playing Atlanta at home in Citi Field. They take on the Rays right after that, and then they play the Nationals, and that's it for September.
Yeah.
So we're nearing the end, obviously, but it's not a point of – there's only a few more sets that I think are crucial, obviously. They need to win these. I think that with the way that they've been playing recently, it's definitely possible. I'm a little scared about the DeGrom injury. And
I was going to say, yeah.
They're taking it slow. They're not putting all this pressure on him right now, which is good. And they're making sure that he kind of eases back in so it's not as serious as it could be. And I guess that's the right thing to do. It's unfortunate. You never want to see your starting pitcher get injured, especially someone as talented as DeGrom. God. Yeah.
Hopefully he's okay. I could see them pushing his start back a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Maybe.
But I'd be remiss if Jacob DeGrom doesn't make one more start this season.
No, he will.
Especially if the Mets are still in the picture.
He will. Just because it's so stupid just to see the Mets are actually trending upwards for once and then something like that happens. But
and that was a huge win as well on Wednesday when the bullpen really locked it up there.
5-4.
Two comeback wins in a row for the Mets.
That was such a great game to watch too. Like watching that was so hype. I don't know what it was, but just the fact that it all came down to the last inning, that kind of thing.
Both times the Mets took the lead in the ninth. Both
exactly. Right? Yes.
Wow, yeah. And the Phillies bullpen, jeez.
Oh, my.
I mean, not good. But let's give credit to the Mets where credit is due. They fought back from a four-run deficit and a three-run deficit. And that's not easy to do against any major league team. Like, twice or 2 days in a row. So they've got Atlanta now. They need to win. It seems like they need to win every day. It depends what the Phillies are doing. One big thing for the Mets that is that they have to leapfrog two other teams. So they need St. Louis and Milwaukee and Cincinnati too if they drop down in there to kind of keep losing along with Philly and the Giants. So the Mets aren't really playing anyone who, like, they're going head-to-head with, like, the Braves. I'd say they have the East just about locked up. So these three games are important because it's against a good team. Then they have Tampa, who is the AL East, just about locked up. Those games are important less for the Rays, I would say, because I'd say they probably have the division locked up, especially with the Orioles this weekend. And then they have Washington, which has been out – who have been out of it for a little while now. The defending champs just not even in the playoff race.
Like you said, every game matters in this kind of situation. I mean, there's a total of what? I think it's 10 games, maybe? I might be wrong.
Yeah, I think the Mets have 10 games left.
Yeah. So, yeah, it is 10. So, right now, they're playing Atlanta. They have three against Atlanta, which are going to be pretty hard. If they could come out with two out of three there, which isn't most likely going to happen, but obviously you got to hope, then that's home.
You got to hope for two out of three at least. If the Mets don't take at least two out of three, their season's probably over.
Exactly. Then you have the Rays coming in still at home. That's only three games. I think those are winnable games. I mean, we've seen with the Mets and the Rays in the past this season. It's definitely possible. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not saying like against each other, but the Rays haven't been as consistent as they should have been. And the Mets kind of have that really weird dark horse personality, just this dark horse trait where they could win random games against good teams, that kind of thing. And the Rays are consistent enough to win at least two out of the three out of that. So I'm hoping for another situation where it's two out of three. And then they finish their season in Washington, four games against the Nationals. That's going to be very important in terms of standings. Obviously by then we'll have a better picture on what's going to happen, how far off they'll be, if they're even going to be in the running. But the Nationals are not a good team. Mm-hmm. This is a thing that the Mets should win three out of the four.
So what do you think the Mets' record needs to be in these last 10 games to be good enough to get in that top eight?
I think that they need to win, I'm going to say, at least seven.
I'd say if they win all 10, which won't happen, realistically, they'll get in. If they win nine – they'll get in. If they win eight, they'll probably get in. If they win seven, it'll be close. But anything less than seven, and I don't think that they have a chance.
Exactly. So you just got to hope for one or two sweeps. I doubt that it's going to happen. But like I said, you just got to hope. They play Atlanta tonight, and then
– Max Fried making his return from the DL.
Exactly.
Or IL, excuse me. And he was he had great stats beforehand, but I don't know – how confident I'd be in like a return. The Mets have been hitting lately. For the most part, the Mets offense is healthy right now. So it's going to be close, man. They have to keep winning, and they have to have other teams lose too. They don't control their own destiny, which isn't something you want this late in the season. But I mean, it'll come down to the wire. They're playing two good teams and one not so good team, but those two good teams probably have a little bit less motivation than the Mets right now. But
look, I think it's just a point of who wants it more.
Yeah.
I think that the Mets, these games are winnable. I think that this team can snag a wild card spot if DeGrom is out for the season, for the regular season at least, where he's not, I think he'll be able to come back for at least one start.
I'd be shocked if he doesn't start
more. Exactly. So there's no way that he's not, especially if the, like you said before, if the Mets are in playoff contention, he's going to come back. There's no way they just let him sit for probably.
I don't think they'd want him to start in that last series against Washington. I think they'd want him to have a start against the Rays so that he's eligible to make a start in the wild card series if they get there.
That's probably smart, yeah.
Yeah. If he pitched on Wednesday, that means when would he be lined up for? Monday,
yeah. So
the Mets, so I don't know if he'll pitch Monday. I could see him pitching Wednesday against the Rays. That'd be my best guess.
Because they play the Rays Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see
him. I doubt he'll pitch Monday, but I could see him pitching Wednesday. So
yeah,
the wild card series starts the following Tuesday, so we get another day. So he'll either. My best guess would be he'll start Wednesday or Thursday.
It's so funny. I'm going to switch back to the Yankees real quick just to see the reactions of Yankees fans about a week or two ago.
No, we were allowed to lose our minds. That was totally valid, bro. That was completely allowed. The Yankees were so bad for like 3 weeks. And like, there's this expectation that comes when you play, when you wear like pinstripes and you play for the New York Yankees, that I like to think most, like, they're a top-tier organization in the history of sports, in American sports. So when you lose the way they lose with the expectations they came into it this year, I think it's totally valid for Yankees fans to lose their mind. There was even a point where I said, I'm not watching a game for the rest of the season. Obviously, I was being super over the top and being a crybaby, like, obviously. But I mean, the way they've played, like, they prove us wrong time and time again, every time. Like, Yankees fans, we're overly pessimistic whenever we go through the slightest of hardships, that I'll admit. But I think it was completely fair for the Yankees after that 5-15 stretch to just start freaking out. Like, they were only a few games – the Orioles were, like, a game behind them for the 8 seed. Like, it would have been terrible. It would have been – it could have been a disaster if they didn't sweep them in 4 last weekend. So –
look, I think that – I mean, yeah, the Yankees fans that I know, at least, were like, we're not going to make the playoffs, all this stuff. Even
but I was one of those people – but, like, I didn't actually think that.
Right now, I mean, I don't know if I'd I'm happy to say it, but I am glad to see you happy to say that the Yankees are most likely going to snag the second in the AL East. I don't think that they're going to be able to catch up to Tampa. I think it's too late in the season.
I agree. They have enough games unfortunately, left. And that's their own fault. They played bad against Tampa.
Exactly. But they are going in. They don't have any other home games until the last series, right?
They have Miami. Boston. So they have 3 against Boston. They have 3 at Fenway, 4 in Buffalo, and then 3 against the Marlins at Yankee Stadium to close it out. So
those are all winnable, though. I mean,
yeah. Well, the Marlins are a good team. The Blue Jays will probably get one of those third-place wildcard spots, and the Red Sox stink. So I think that the Yankees want to take at least 2 out of 3 from the Red Sox. They definitely want the sweep, but, like, get at least 2 out of 3 from the Red Sox. Otherwise, that's a disaster, like, moment right there. And then for Buffalo, if they split with Buffalo, I'm not even going to get greedy. If they split with the Blue Jays, they're fine because – they're 2.5 up. So if they just win 2 games against the Blue Jays, they will get the second spot and they will not have to play the 1 or 2 seed. I think that the Yankees will end up – they're tied right now with the Twins in the loss column. Have played 2 more games than the Yankees and have 2 more wins because of that. But I think the Yankees, which is hilarious, is they're going to end up playing Minnesota again if I were to guess right now. It just comes down to how they can play so that those 3 games or 2 games are played in New York and not in Minnesota.
Yeah. That's a big difference.
That wild card series is still going to be played in the home parks. So I think that'd be big for the Yankees, even though there's no fans, just because they're 20-7 in Yankee Stadium this year. So that's big. We'll see. It's going to come down to the wire for that four spot. I think that's what the Yankees are mostly fighting for right now. The Yankees are trending up and the Twins are trending down a little bit. Shout out to the Chicago White Sox for clinching the playoffs for the first time in 12 years. But I guess it would be the Yankees are going to end up playing the Twins.
I can see that.
They just need to win more games than them the rest of the way so that they can play those games in Yankee Stadium. So, and then to wrap up the Mets, let's just do final predict for the last 10 games of the season. What is your prediction as to what their record will be? And I'll probably be more optimistic about this than you because you've seen this movie a million times.
And I'm hopeful
that the Mets will also make the playoffs because it's great content.
As much as I want to say the Mets win 7, 8, 9, 10 games, I think that the most they win is going to be 6. I think they finish 6-4 on the season. They go 29-31. And I think that's just going to be their downfall. They're going to be just short. It's going to be close, obviously. I mean, right now, Philly has that last wild card spot. They are 20.
I don't think Philly's going to hold on. Like, I don't know. I'm not saying it'll be the Mets, but, like, the way the Phillies have been playing lately, like, in the beginning of the season, I had them as a wild card team or a second place team, like, one of the two. Like, I thought they'd make the playoffs, but right now – like, they're disappointing. They're disappointing again. So
right now, the teams that are most likely in – so
– it'll be in that second spot. And let's not forget that the Giants are close. The NL proceeds 6 through, like, 10 or even 11, I guess, are very close.
Yeah, definitely. Because right now you have San Francisco in the 7th spot, in the first wild card spot.
Yeah.
Philly in the 8th. And then you have St. Louis, Milwaukee, the Mets, and the Rockies all kind of in that same boat. Rockies are one game – or not even, they're half a
they're
game.
They're half game behind the Mets.
So, this is still anyone's ballgame. This could still go to any one of these teams. Right now, San Francisco and Philly are obviously in the best positions, but that doesn't mean that they have it. And I don't know what their schedule is to end the season, to be completely honest, but I don't
– yeah, I don't know it either.
I could see Philly slipping up. I don't know if they're going to be able to get in there. I hope that they don't.
Me too. And one thing to mention also is that for – this is less important for the Mets, but for the Cardinals and St. Louis, the Reds only have that second spot in the NL Central by half a game over St. Louis and one game over Milwaukee. So those teams are also fighting for a top 6. So I guess it's important for the Mets to also pay attention to the Reds because if they start losing again, then they're in competition with the Mets. But I think that the Mets are going to end up going 7-3. I think that they'll win 2 out of 3, 2 out of 3, and 3 out of 4. I don't know if that'll be enough.
I hope so.
I know for a fact that if it isn't enough, one of those losses will be absolutely brutally painful and they will blow a lead or get walked off or something
it's
ridiculous.
Gonna happen.
Like
there's going to be some sort of thing with other.
There's going to be some kind of – whether the Mets make it or not, if they make it, it'll be off some ridiculous crazy win. If they lose, it'll be off some ridiculous crazy heartbreaker. That's my final prediction. So I think they'll go 7-3. I think they'll finish 30-30. Will it be enough? I don't know. I don't know how much the Reds, Cardinals, and Brewers all play each other, but depending on how much they all play each other, that could play in a factor. I know the Mets don't play the Phillies any longer. But, 7-3.
I know that it's kind of out of the picture, but I'm hoping that the Yankees are able to sweep the Marlins. I mean, that could be a very helpful at the end of the season in terms of final standings.
And also for the Mets, yeah, that good that you mentioned that. They're 2.5 behind the Marlins. So that's not out of the question. That's going to be hard, but that's not out of the question.
Exactly. So if the Marlins decide to tank for this last 10 games or whatever they have left, I think it is – no, I think they have 12 left.
Say the Yankees go 7-3 or 8-2 in their last 10. Like, I'm not going to go too in-depth. What I'll say is – all right, fine. I'll do prediction. They'll sweep the Red Sox or 2 out of 3. They'll split with Toronto, and then they'll take 2 out of 3 from the Marlins. So that's what I think the final is going to be.
So we have decently high hopes. I mean, I don't think that the Mets make the playoffs at the end of the day, unfortunately, but I could see them winning more than half their games. I could see them going 6, maybe 7 out of these last 10. But
is 30-30 enough? That's what it'll come down to.
I'm hoping.
It'd be nice also if the Mets had more games against the Marlins and Phillies left. But
exactly. It's
also, if the Mets could have won on Tuesday and swept, that would have been huge. But nonetheless, both games, both wins last night were character, good team wins that kept them in the race.
Because the Phillies have the same – not the same exact schedule as the Mets, but the Phillies take on Buffalo this –
those are going to be tough games. Like, the Blue Jays got stomped by the Yankees, but they're still fighting for a playoff spot. So, actually, that's the 8th seed against the 8th seed. So, there's going to be plenty of motivation to go around there, even though the Blue Jays are up 4 games on Seattle for that 8. But still, plenty of motivation to go around.
Buffalo, that's in Philly. Then they have 4 in Washington, and then they finish off against Tampa, 3 of them in Tampa.
They have – same with the Mets, yeah. I mean, they're tough games, but it's going to come down to who wants it more, I feel like.
Yeah. And
there's definitely the possibility, although I doubt it, I think that the Mets or Phillies are going to snag a wild card spot unless the Giants collapse, because I don't think that St. Louis and Milwaukee will both make it. So – yeah, the Giants are playing good baseball right now too. So I could, I think the Giants are going to hold on to the 7 because I feel like they're playing good baseball. But yeah, it's going to be close, man. It's going to be close. The Mets need to win 2 more games than the Phillies, and the Phillies have played 1 less game. So
got it.
I don't know if that bodes well or not, but that's the story there. So we'll check back on the. Although we're going to do mostly a football episode Sunday night, Monday morning, whenever it gets released. We will have to talk about the baseball weekend. Like, yeah, we'll have
definitely. We'll try to combine the two. We'll talk less about football. We're trying to do shorter episodes for you guys. We've said that the past few times, and it hasn't really equated to that.
It'll usually end up being like 40 minutes.
Yeah, so we're trying to make them shorter and put out more for you guys, just so you don't have to sit here for an hour and 10 minutes listening to us. But we're going to wrap up baseball for this one.
We got one more thing to talk about.
Yeah, just to end off, we're going to kind of talk about something that excites both of us.
Thank finally. God. No, more and less excite and more relief.
Exactly. That's a better word.
It's just a relief. So the Islanders lost last night, finally. I finally get to stop talking about that poor excuse for a New York hockey team.
Rest in peace.
I'm glad they lost. They lost in 6 games. They made it close by winning in double overtime in game 5. Anthony Cirelli, future Ranger, is the hero. So that's it. Islanders losing 6. One thing I will say nice about the Islanders fans, for you sorry freaks that are listening to this, great season. You did way better than I thought you would. You should be proud of your hockey team, and you should really savor this run, because with the flat cap and having to pay Pellick, Pulock, and Barzal all in the
next season,
with an aging team, that was your last hurrah. You guys are going to fall off the face of the map, I think, sooner rather than later. And those of you who are chirping the Rangers about getting swept in the qualifying round, we have this one really cool player named Alexis Lafreniere now.
Not yet.
We will next month. So I just want everyone to remember that. We have the best consolation prize for losing the playoffs. So screw you guys. Islanders lose. Wrap it up.
I like that. So rest in peace to the entire Islanders organization for the next decade. I don't think you're making it back to where you did, but you know what?
Here's to the next 27 years of not winning 2 rounds in the playoffs.
There you go.
Yeah.
So that just about wraps up this episode. This is episode 10. We're going to talk a bit more about baseball next one. We're going to talk about football, like Keegan said. It's probably going to be out
Monday morning.
The Jets and Giants both play at 1, so we might be able to get this out to you guys Sunday night.
And we're going to upload this right after we record, so Friday afternoon, right?
Yes. Okay. So thank you guys for listening.
I'm
Anthony Evangelista. You can follow me on Instagram, AnthonyEvangelista7, or my Twitter, AnthonyEV7. You could also follow the page on Instagram or Twitter, Big Apple Sports Media on Instagram, Big Apple SP Media on Twitter. What about you, Keegs?
At Kyle Keegan on Instagram and Twitter, but the L is a 1, Kai 1 E Keegan on both Instagram and Twitter. And you already shouted out the media accounts, and shout out to people, you know who you are, who are buying shirts. We're probably going to do sweatshirts with our new logo for our winter or whatever the heck we do. Like, maybe we'll do sweatshirts and beanies. We'll see. No promises, but yeah, first line of merch is out for the Princeton crew. Anthony's getting his shirt with our OG logo. So consider this a collector's edition, because we got the new Fire logo, but
doesn't even have media on it, just Big Apple Sports Podcast, but that's not who we are.
Yeah, but it's still a nice shirt. We're happy to have it. Like, it's a good start, making some money.
Exactly.
We're going to be opening up the blog website soon, so.
If you're interested in getting one, just comment it on our Instagram or DM us or something like that. We'll find a way to let you guys buy it, depending.
There's only 30, so if you don't get one, sorry, but we'll be making more in the future probably.
Yeah, we'll definitely have some sort of merchandise thing coming up in the near future.
For sure.
All right, well, thank you guys for listening to this episode. We'll see you Sunday night, Monday morning. But until then, have a good one. Thank you for listening.
Thanks, guys.
Take care.